What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fantasy Suites Podcast. As always, I am your host, Coco Olivia, and we have made it, my loves. It is the end of Matt James's journey, and let's just say that a couple of our predictions definitely played themselves out on our screens last night. Wow. I am not okay after this episode. Oh my gosh. I am assuming so many of you are feeling the exact same way. We are going to get into the recap. We are going to break down all of the drama from AFR, and we are going to wrap this whole season up because we have some things to look forward to, right? We have two amazing new bachelorettes. That's right. Katie Thurston and Michelle Young are each getting their own run as Bachelorette. I am literally so excited for this. I could not be happier that Tayshia Adams and Caitlin Bristow will also be stepping in for hosting duties for Katie's season. This is amazing. We have so much to look forward to in the franchise, but before we need to reconcile this season, we need to process our feelings around this, and we're going to get into it because we are a thought with some thoughts, you know? But first, a word from our beloved sponsor, the Final Rose Tarot. That's right. We are back again to talk to you about Amelia Rose's and Lindsay Millen's amazing project, the most dramatic tarot deck yet, which is, of course, based on all of our mutual obsession, the Bachelor franchise. Of course, all 78 traditional tarot cards have been reimagined by these amazing ladies and correlated to the themes from our beloved show, including cards featuring the In the Moments, the Producer, the Villain, but aren't they the same this season? And of course, the Bachelor as the Emperor and the Bachelorette as the Empress. Or in the case of our upcoming season, the Bachelorettes. The deck comes with its own guidebook that has funny insight and descriptions for each of the cards. These are reinterpretations of the conventional meanings of the cards into bachelor scenarios. So cool. Each card also has its own keyword associations for an at-a-glance interpretation and readings. The cards are stunning, honey. They are hand-illustrated, set in vibrant colors like purples, reds, hot pinks, oranges, reds, stunning. And they are all printed on luxurious and thick matte paper with gold foil on both sides of the cards and on the box. It's a vibe, okay? It's meant to be cheeky and lighthearted and poke fun at our beloved franchise, which honestly needs all of the fun to be poked at it as much as possible. This deck can be used for introspection like a traditional deck or as a fun complement to watching the show when we can have tarot parties again or even find on-theme advice and predictions about it if you're into it. Y'all, please, pre-order your own copy of the Final Rose Tarot now via the Kickstarter campaign. It is currently $5 off the normal price for all pre-orders, and you can find a link for that on their Instagram at Final Rose Tarot or at finalrosetarot.com. They are also currently giving away a free deck if you're following them and participating. You can enter that contest by clicking the giveaway post on their Instagram. So exciting. They are 75% funded with only 14 days to go. Let's make it happen, guys. Yes, go Final Rose Tarot. We love you. Okay, let's get into it. So at the top of this episode, we are getting these vibes from Matt that he is really struggling with potentially getting engaged. And I mean, understandable. You just met these women like a month ago. No, but literally, he is having a lot of emotions because of the way that he grew up and the environment, of being in a single parent household and how this has affected his outlook on relationships. And I mean, that's understandable and fair and fine, but I don't know, this single mom narrative really fucking sucks. We've seen it throughout the course of this season. And myself as a single mom, I really do not appreciate the way that they're framing growing up in a single parent household as not setting a good example or providing the child with enough of a framework of what a healthy partnership should be in the future. And it really resonated with me throughout this season that people actually feel that way about single parents, and it's been really messing with my brain and my heart and all of that. So sorry if I've been a little bit silent, but I've been really thinking about that and internalizing all of that and having it all brought to the forefront in this episode was actually super triggering. Single moms are never single moms by choice, and we are absolutely doing our best. And oftentimes, I think single parents, especially single moms, are escaping situations of abuse. And so it's really painful for me to see a parent portrayal like that when she seems to have done, I mean, I don't know her. She's probably, you know, she probably has tons of faults and, you know, she's not perfect. None of us are. But yeah, it really sucks to, it's just sucks to have this narrative played out on our screen for me as a single parent. Like, please, he's so damaged and lacking in love because he had a single parent. I mean, that could, I don't know, I don't want to sound judgmental, but at the same time, like, it just irked me how they pushed that one so much. Patty is a realist. John is also just a gem. I really enjoyed seeing their family dynamic, it explains a lot about Matt's character. And Patty's just like, love is not the end all be all. It takes more than love to make it through. And she's totally right. Like, this is hearkening back to the theme of this season, is that it takes more than love to make it through something and to stay in love, right? As per Michelle. And I at least appreciated how this episode drew out that theme of the season and highlighted it without being super direct about it. And that's true. That's a real thing. That's a real part of life. So even though it's kind of depressing, it's also being a realist. I don't know. Noted that Matt's eyes are closed when he's kissing Michelle. Matt, you're learning, buddy. Wild. So Michelle arrives to meet Matt and John, and it's beautiful to see them all together. You know, Michelle is so personable and lovely and forthcoming. And I'm just like, wow, imagine saying all of these things about falling in love on national TV. I'm just dying so hard of secondhand embarrassment, you know? And while the conversation flows between everyone and everyone's getting along swimmingly, there is something missing between the dynamic. There's just something lost in the sauce. And, you know, I think unfortunately it seems obvious that Matt, even though he's saying he's so confused, he's so lost, he knows it's not Michelle. And he straight up lies to her. He had said in a previous interview that he knows he's not ready. He doesn't think that he can get engaged at the end of this. And he doesn't tell Michelle any of that. And honestly, if I were his final pick, knowing he said all of this in his capacity as lead on The Bachelor, when you know what this entails, I would regardless dump him so fast. So fast. Ugh, I was so fucking annoyed for her. Like, she got so played. What the fuck, Matt James? But it's so sad because they are extra cute with their snowball fight at the end, right as she's leaving. I'm like heartbroken for her. Ugh. And then it's time for Rachel's date and to meet Patty and John. And lo and behold, she arrives carrying the same sunflowers. And I guess the producers were like, okay, finales, let's clean up all of these vases around Nemacolin and grab the rest of the flowers, stick them in some fucking brown paper and give them to Patty as a gift. Why the fuck not? It's been that kind of season anyway, y'all. And Rachel arrives and it is super duper clear from the onset that there is a significant connection in the family with her over this element of faith. And I'm just like frozen in horror during this entire thing because, y'all, like, what a fiasco. Ugh. The emotional labor that Matt must be having to do now to, like, fix all of this in his soul must be just mental. Yeah, so she talks about, she literally talks about crying on the first night over when Matt prayed over the group and just how she's felt that and carried that with her throughout this journey and how she really feels like Matt is his person and uses very affirming positive language to kind of like not manipulate but convince Patty, like, you know, like when you're a confident speaker, and she has this extra element of kind of being like subdued and quiet and reserved, so when she speaks with such confidence like that, like it convinces the person that she's talking to. And that's what happened here. Like, Patty was super warm to her, totally won over, and especially over this connection over faith. This is super important to Matt, so yeah, understandable. We were just really happy when it was over, honestly. But unfortunately, this meant that he goes off to have this chat with Chris and talks about his feelings and the fact that he's just not ready. Oh my gosh. I was like, yeah, no fucking shit. So this is like definitely a find your girlfriend season. We called it from the beginning. Oh my God. Whatever. So somehow he still needs to meet with Neil Lane to fucking pick out a diamond ring. This was so bizarre. I was like, is he gonna propose to himself? Like, who, he's not giving this to anyone. And the show kind of frames it as like a just in case type of situation. Like, he'll know. And Matt says it himself. Like, he'll know when he gets to the moment what he's gonna do. And I was like, oh my God, Matt is the own winner of his own season. This whole promotional bit for Blood Diamonds and Neil Lane was just really annoying. And Neil Lane needs to stop having work done because he no longer looks like a human being. Oh my God, y'all. And despite all of these uncertainties and pressures and negative feelings, Matt has one more date with Michelle. And what are they doing for this date? They're gonna make this poor girl rappel off a fucking building because there's literally nothing else to do at Nemacolin. Oh my God, I just feel so bad for Michelle this entire time. Like, thank God AFR happens the way that it does because I would die. I would just die. And then we get to the red flags, like the actual literal red flags. Girl, Michelle, she can see them from like the top of the building and everything. Oh my God. With the flip of a switch, it is the night portion. And Michelle and Matt are seated on a couch. And Michelle is proceeding to give Matt some gifts to commemorate their time together on this journey. And this is a pretty normal progression of the show. We often see the final two end up giving the lead kind of like a meaningful gift at the end.
Usually it'll harken back to the journey or something that they've done together or even maybe night one. And this is kind of what happens in Michelle's case. She gives Matt some basketball jerseys with Mr. James and Mrs. James printed on the back. And it is just fucking heartbreaking. Like, this is totally recalling the little mini basketball game that they had when Matt met her parents. And my heart is just breaking in this moment because we legit know what is about to happen. And oh gosh, does it ever. And the whole thing feels so rushed. Michelle's tears and her heartbreak are so palpable. They're so real. You can just tell that she is really heartbroken. And they rush this breakup. Like, Matt really needs to work on how he interacts with people and women. Because they break up and he literally whispers very under his breath, "Can I walk you out? I'm dead." And just for the record, Michelle, you are not number two. You are number one, okay? You are number one. You know what, though? We fucking stan Michelle speaking her truth at AFR and calling Matt out for all of the growth that he really needs to do. Because saying thanks for your feedback when someone is sharing their feelings with you or immediately dismissing them during a breakup, just not cool. And she really speaks to that. So we fucking love to see it. Go, Michelle. She was really one of the saving graces of this season, and seeing her get her heart broken broke mine in turn. You know, I was not okay after that. And finally, we are getting towards the end of this dumpster fire, but not before he cancels his final date with Rachel and instead invites her out to the lake, which was kind of scary. Not gonna lie, like, this had very Killer in the Woods vibes. And we've seen this a couple of times throughout the season with Kit getting lost and whatnot. But this trope is getting kind of old. And we get to this whimsical Shrek living in the swamp type of situation, which is apparently going to be the final conversation site. And what a scene. Like, it looks like a little mini deconstructed, like, hut. Like, it's so, like, it's something out of Hansel and Gretel. Like, it's kind of crazy. And Matt literally professes his love for Rachel and explains that he's not ready to get engaged, but he sees a future with her and loves her and wants to be together. And her actual reaction is so funny. Like, I was straight up dead. She was like, "Oh, yeah, that's enough for me. Like, that's all I want." Y'all, what, first of all, so anticlimactic, but also proves our point that this was a complete date your girlfriend season. And thank God that was over, because it's time for AFR and Emmanuel Acho. And Emmanuel Acho's smile is the entire reason that I tuned in for this special.
So let's get into it. This is the real reason why you came here. Right off the bat, Emmanuel Acho is like coming in with this new intro music. I'm feeling it. We have the classic Bachelor AFR setup with all of the candles and candle holders and flowers everywhere and the dim lighting, stunning with the view of the city, very into it. And he gets into it right off the bat. He addresses the racially insensitive images from Rachel Kirkconnell, the fact that Chris Hasman is not there, and very pointedly states the fact that Chris has apologized for his defense of Rachel. Super fascinating. Yeah, he is energetic and excited and tells us that it's going to be an uncomfy night. Oh my gosh. This suit of his is like tailored to the gods, mama. It is fitting over every single bicep that this man has. Holy moly. He's also using some classic Chris Hasman lines like, but first, and the most dramatic conclusion ever. So we're getting a hint as to how the franchise is going to continue some of these tropes and isms that we have come to love about Batch Nation without having Chris Hasman directly implicated. I don't know. I kind of like it. It's a nice continuation without, like, while cutting out the problem. Boy, bye. Emmanuel brings out Michelle, and she is looking stunning in this glittery LBD piece. I am super into it with these jade green gem earrings. I'm just in awe of her. She's perfect. And she's talking about how she feels like Matt was really the one. Oh, it's so sad. Like, it's just, the emotion with her is so palpable. I can't. And we find out this huge piece of information, and it is that Michelle was not okay after their crazy brief, super insensitive, can I walk you out breakup, of course, and after the fact, asked to speak to Matt to get some additional closure. And he said no. Y'all, I simply could not with this. I could not. The fucking shade of it all. Ugh. Matt did Michelle so dirty. I feel like he completely led her on, completely shut her out. And imagine the emotional trauma of putting it all on the line for someone, spending like 2 months of your life auditioning to be his wife, and then him declining to give you a closure conversation. Wow. I would have written this person out of my fucking life forever. And the annoyance and hurt and disgust on her face is so obvious too. Like, she looks so annoyed with his simple presence. Ugh. And yet she's so graceful and stunning and beautiful. Oh my god, she's going to be such an amazing bachelorette. Importantly, Emmanuel asks Michelle about her thoughts and feelings on both Rachel and Chris's actions. And this was just heartbreaking to watch because, once again, we are asking a Black woman to do all of this emotional labor and literal educational work to make white viewers understand how these actions impact Black viewers and people of color. And she speaks directly to this collective exhaustion of trying to make people understand the level of trauma around the heaviness of the conversations going on. I just really appreciated Michelle's directness and ability to speak directly on the issue. And this is someone that she considers a friend, someone whose actions she is directly hurt by. And instead of speaking around the issue, she spoke directly about it. And I just have so much endless respect for her and just cannot wait to see her on my screen all during the fall. Oh my gosh. And then Emmanuel brings out Matt James. And the awkwardness is fucking real, okay? Like, Matt is about to get grilled like a panini, and it shows in his eyes. This is a man who has fear, okay? And Michelle nails it, okay? She tells him that she hopes that he finds his happiness, that he continues to kiss with his eyes closed, and that he's able to come up with better responses other than thanks for sharing when women tell him that they love him. Here for it. Y'all, thank you, Michelle. Emmanuel then sits down to talk with Matt about his experience as a Black man on this franchise. And this conversation makes space finally for Matt's lived experience. This is also the first time that we are informed of the denouement of what happens between Rachel and Matt. And it is that after they left Pennsylvania, after they left Nemacolin, they went into the honeymoon period, which is like the happy couple weekend where the pair are secluded and isolated and spend time together. And we get a couple of photos of them. And Matt speaks about having to kind of convince himself that maybe these things weren't true about her. And then the information starts coming out in the media about, you know, pictures of her and things that she's posts that she's liked and people that she's associated with and how he has to unpack that as a Black man. And it's just heartbreaking to hear his side of it finally. we learn that they are no longer together, that he supports her and believes in her ability to do the work and put in the time and effort into bettering herself. And just the grief is really all over Matt's face. You can tell he's still processing. And once again, we're given this narrative of Black trauma in the show, and I'm just broken for Matt. I hate that this is the version of his story that we had to get. Ugh. Y'all, and then it is fucking time for Rachel to come out, and Emmanuel literally asks her one question, which is, how are you? And she's like, well, that's a loaded question, girl. Also, can we talk about this red one shoulder piece that she's wearing for this? Can we get like any more MAGA right wing vibes here? I'm not about it. And like, this is not a cute look for someone who has done some shit. Like, this reads mega I don't give a fuck vibes. Ugh. Her whole position during this entire interview is very defensive, which is not surprising. She can barely even look at the camera or look at Emmanuel. She basically speaks to the feeling that Matt is her person and that her ignorant past actions were not reflective of the person that she is today. I don't know, like, girlfriend obviously went through some heavy PR training prior to this because she was just trying to act the part, it felt like. Like, this is a classic case of she done got caught. Whatever. Then it's time to bring out Matt, and this is just the most uncomfortable segment in Bachelor history. And you know what? It made for awesome TV. So, wow. We immediately learn that Rachel apparently was not receptive to Matt's feelings around why these photos, these comments, these likes were insensitive and prejudiced. And she kind of tries to spin it in this way where she says, well, our relationship was really strong and our love was really deep. So for you to end things and feel that strongly about this issue, it must have meant a lot to you. I was shook. I was like, this is a classic case of, well, sorry you feel that way. Like, girl, give me a fucking break. And thankfully, Matt responds perfectly and puts her in her fucking place. And he's like, no, Rachel, you did not understand why what you did was wrong and hurtful towards Black people. And that's why this is done. And she's like, avoid eye contact. Girl, please. And he pauses and he's trying to regain composure. And he's feeling a lot of things. And fucking Rachel is like touching him and like rubbing his back. And it culminates in her grabbing his hand. And I'm like, girl, what the fuck are you doing? It's just, it's gross. Like, it just reads as, like, you don't have a right to his body. Why are you touching him? Like, you fucked up. I don't know. But the moment that he lets it go ever so gently and stealthily, I was like, yes. Oh my God. Just to see him say, no, it's over. You have to work on things on your own. I choose me. So validating. And it's over. Like, we're done. She's done. I can't even believe it. Hopefully she fades into oblivion and we never have to hear from her again. Wow. What an episode. What a finale. And to cap off this wild finale, we get a wild announcement, and it is that we are not getting one bachelorette, we are getting two bachelorettes. That is fucking right, y'all. Katie Thurston, Michelle Young, two separate bachelorette seasons. I am fucking here for it. They presented Michelle with the offer for Bachelorette, which she declined because of her teaching schedule. And lo and behold, the show did something right for a change and changed their production to suit her schedule. Yes, it is going to be wild. This combined with a sex positivity queen, y'all. We already have the crop of guys listed for Katie Thurston season. This has been released. It is out there. We are definitely going to do a breakdown episode later this week on this one because there are some good guys in this group, y'all. I think they are not only going to bring the drama, they're going to bring the comedy and the diversity. I am so excited. They are also casting for Michelle's season. So if you know any eligible men, please send them Michelle's way. She needs a good one for sure because she's the angel queen that we do not deserve, to be honest. I can't even believe it. Wow, what a season. This has been our first inaugural season. I cannot believe it's coming to an end, but it has been an absolute pleasure to share it with you all, and we are so excited to see what season two of our show will bring. So just because it's Bachelor off season doesn't mean that we are going anywhere. That's right. We are going to try to keep up a similar schedule to the release schedule that we currently have. And we already have tons of cool ideas for some really fun episodes and deep dives into some things you might have missed. But if you have anything that you want to hear on the show, if you have any special requests, babies, please reach out fantasysuitespodcast@gmail.com or just DM us fantasysuitespodcast on Instagram. Wow. Matt James, I hope that the rumors are true, that you have found love with Heather Martin, and that all is well in your world post this wild journey. My gosh. And before we go, make sure to check out our friends at Final Rose Tarot to pre-order your copy of The Final Rose Tarot, now available via the Kickstarter campaign. It's currently $5 off the normal price for all pre-orders. Find a link to pre-order yours on their Instagram at Final Rose Tarot or at finalrosetarot.com. A reminder that it is Women's History Month and it is so important, more important than ever, to celebrate women creators of all kinds, of all walks of life. So that's it. That's all, my friends. Can you believe it? We made it. We're here at the end. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for tuning in with us for Matt James's journey to find love. We love you here at Fantasy Suites Podcast and are so excited for season 2 of our show. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, I am your host, Coco Olivia, and we'll see you really, really soon, babies.